Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi.
وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome dear viewers, you are watching Reformation of the Ummah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Once again, with another topic in discussion, we have our honorable scholar, esteemed scholar, Ziyad Madini Hafidhahullah, mashallah, with us to, mashallah, unpack those Madini pearls that he will share with us, inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We thank our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla. We send peace and blessings upon Nabi Akram, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, alayhi muridwan. Alhamdulillah, our discussion for this evening is short-term versus long-term. If you have been following Madani channel, and specifically this particular program in which we discuss matters that are reforming, matters that need reformation, dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah, we have touched on subjects and matters that have really affected our society in totality. Alhamdulillah, we have discussed matters that people have been dwelling in Mawlana Sahib for a long time, and they could not find any way out. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Positive Madini pearls and points that have derived from this program and many other programs as well has aided and helped many people, dear viewers. And the intention behind this is to provide guidance so that we may overcome the rush of this dunya. Yes, because we are living in a world which is so fast-paced, dear viewers. We all want instant results, instant fulfillment and satisfaction for whatever we do. We all desire and we all want this, but pause and reflect for a moment, perform introspection and see the plans that I have, the intentions that I have, the things that I want to do in my life. Allahu Akbar. Where will this take me? What is the difference between short-term and long-term planning? How is it to plan short-term and fail? So these are the points, inshallah, azza wa jalla, that we are going to be discussing tonight. And we hope that this program shall help various ages of people that shall be watching Madini channel tonight, Ameen. Inshallah, azza wa jalla, especially the youth out there. And there are so many real lifetime examples, Mawlana Sahib.
Absolutely, Mawlana Sahib. As you're speaking, you know, it's such an apt discussion for today's time.
Allahu Akbar.
Because the world has moved towards that.
Yes.
Really, we've all become so used to it, that we want things to take place and they must take place quickly, and we just tend to notice that which takes place in front of us. We know that someone's got a headache, you know, previously, if we look towards our parents, our grandparents, etc., and we say, mother or grandmother, I have a headache. What's one of the first things they would ask us? I know I used to get asked these are common things that cause the headache. Example, did you eat well enough or did you not eat well enough? Did you sleep well enough? Did you not? Did you drink well enough or not? So we were looking at causes and we were looking at how can we set this right on a long term that you mustn't get headaches anymore. But in today's time, I have a headache. If our children happen to tell us we have a headache, what do we ask them? Did you take a tablet, a painkiller in order to have the headache go away? It's just a quick fix. Everything is just quick. We just want it done. If I want to speak to someone, it's not about establishing a long-term relationship that we keep friendship. It's about, can I just hit a button and talk to him? Oh, life has gone towards short-term to the extent that we don't know what long-term, we don't know what cause and effect over a long-term is. It's all sort of disappeared. So I think before it slips completely out of our hands, and before we don't realize the importance of looking at the long term any longer, it's important that we discuss the differences between short term and long term, as well as what can we do in order to ensure that firstly our short term, yes, true, but especially our long term, our lives in the whole, our lives in dunya and akhirah are of the best quality that we want of it to be.
Subhanallah. I think, Mawlana Sahib, of what you have mentioned, everyone looks at long term. Everyone wants to be happy on the longer term.
That's true, we want to.
Everyone desires that. I mean, look at a brother. I'm not going to use name, right? Just general discussion, because these matters are so many. If I say one name as an example, somebody's name could be that person who was in that situation as well, you know? So I'm just going to leave it as general. A person intended to have a high-paying job.
Right,
he wanted
mashallah.
A job where you get paid good money. You know, can have a good life. So what he did was, instead of going and studying his engineering course, he decided to buy the diploma online. So the shortcut, the short-term versus long-term. See, Maulana Sahib, he purchased it online. He got it at one shot. It was just accessible and available for him, right? He did it. He got a job, and this landed him at a company where he was being paid good amount of money.
All right.
Until something went wrong, and the project was a failure, after which some investigations happened. And when they'd done an internal audit to find out that this person whom we employed is a fake. His diploma, his degree is all fake. He was embarrassed, he was disgraced, he was removed from his position. He had to pay the price for it. And I believe, and I'm hoping, that he actually went to study the right thing the day after. However, this is a shortcut, Maulana Sahib. Likewise, there are many other examples. There was another person who invested in an online business. And the thing, the scheme was that you get 300% back in 2 weeks. It was a certain investment. And the idea for this person and for many other people is long-term. Acha, if I do this in 2 weeks, I will get 300% back. If I never had to do this investment, how much more would I have to work to get 300% back? So the scheme was there. The option was there. It was a decision to take yes or no. It was a yes. All life savings were invested in order to get 300% back within 2 weeks. And after the money was gone into the next person's account, this person had realized this entire scheme was a fake scheme. There was no such thing in reality. This person is sitting in depression, taking medications, and then went for counseling. And nothing has happened. Many people are in this situation at this very moment, Maulana Sahib, who have got eaten up, who have got cheated and deceived. And many a times there are people who even give you advice at that moment. But because the figures are playing in your mind, because you can see a picture, ha, why would this person not want me to do something which is so available? Others got it. Why? I can't get it, you know? It may have worked for one, two or three people. So in both cases which I've presented, Maulana Sahib, the first person who went looking for a shortcut, he obtained a diploma in this engineering field, which was a fake one, which caused him to land in jail or to pay the price, Maulana Sahib. So this is the replications and the outcome of short-term planning, Maulana Sahib. Unfortunately, we have the youth of today who think in this direction so much. And there's no lessons learned.
Unfortunately, I learned a very beautiful saying with regards to our general worldly life. Someone once told me that if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. I think that's something we need to realize and something we need to see, that if everything is all that rosy, then why is the rest of the world working hard? Everybody is working hard and everyone's doing what they're doing, and they're doing it for years on end, and they're doing the best. And alhamdulillah, the general quality of life of many people who are trying hard, alhamdulillah, is fairly good. And you know, they're getting ahead with life. So this kind of shortcut that we think, I'll just come and do it and I'll do it overnight, and it sounds so good to be true, but wonderful, it's true. Often we're just looking towards those few people that manage to strike luck, and just by some sort of chance. And we think, and we feel like the rest of the world is also going to strike it, and we're going to also strike it. It reminds me of people who have this craze for gambling. And I'm sorry that I'm relating it to this, but many a times it pretty much is this, that some people have this craze for gambling, and every gambler, someone who's gambling, you ask him that, why are you gambling? He says, no, I'm just one step away. I'm one step away from striking luck. I've been doing this for 20 years. Have you struck luck yet? No, but I'm one step away from striking luck. He's always one step away from striking luck since he initiated his habit of gambling. But it's just that they're looking for, within a quick little while, what's the shortcut? What's the get-rich-quick scheme for me to be able to arrive at the same destination as those who worked for 20 and 30 years? I want to do it in 20 and 30 seconds. And this searching for that shortcut results in long-term losses. You find such people, their lives fall apart. Their partners can't manage with them. Their children can't manage with them. No one can manage with them. This concept of, let me just ensure that I can do everything quickly and then I'll be set for life. Honorable viewers of Madani Channel, it doesn't work. You know, that's just how it is.
That's not going to work. But this is the thing that we cannot get past the youth of today, Sayyidi. Examples of such people are given who had good luck, maybe Allah Kareem has blessed them, mashallah, alhamdulillah. But I think the reason behind this, Mulana Sahib, is because of hardships. People aren't, minds aren't made, even for dunya and for akhirah. Any ibadat which has hardship within it, people like to step away from it.
Ah, that's true.
Any work of the dunya that got hardship with it, you have to hard labor, your hands are going to get harder, you're going to get burnt a little in the sun, you've got to sweat a little, you've got to do hard labor, but the earnings behind it is very good.
Subhanallah.
But people do not look into that line. No, I want a shortcut. I don't want to work so long. My retirement is the next 5 years from now, you know.
Yes.
I want to do something such that by the time I'm 40 and 50, I want to sit back, relax and enjoy and watch, you know what, this is my empire I've built.
Yes.
So Rasulullah says in a hadith, Ya Sayyidi, about, you know, honoring five before five.
Subhanallah.
Absolutely. Wonderful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every time I read this hadith, Ya Sayyidi, and we try to understand this hadith, there's so much of benefit, there's so much of blessings in this, subhanallah. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants us to acknowledge five before five.
Absolutely.
Treasure this five before five. And we all have this, young, old, rich, poor, we all have that. We all had youth once in our life, Mulana. And Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you know, honor your youth, respect it, live it properly before your old age.
Oh.
Your health before you fall sick. Allahu Akbar. Your wealth before you see poverty in your life. Is it not happening, dear viewers of Madinah Channel? Today we have all of this. Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says in a hadith, subhanallah, and your free time before your preoccupation, and then your life before your death. Subhanallah. Look at this, Ya Sayyidi, that we have these four, five things in our lives. We all had our youth. We have good health, alhamdulillah. But in this good health, where do we even think of sickness until sickness doesn't come? So sickness is only understood, or health is only appreciated when a person falls sick, Ya Sayyidi.
Absolutely. All of these five are such things that you will only appreciate once you face the opposite.
The opposite.
The youth, you know, we say the youth of today, the youth of today, the old age of the old ones of today were the youth of yesterday.
Allahu
Akbar. And they look towards the youth and they say, you know, value your youth. Not because they don't know what you're going through, because they went through what you're going through. They were young one day. And during the youth, the energy that you have, Sayyidi Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, he, subhanallah Azza wa Jalla, he also advised himself when he was young. But he told himself that, you know, Riyazat ke yahi din hai, that this is the time of hard work, this is the time of ibadah, this is the time to strive. Whilst he was young, he said, Burape mein kaha himmat, that, oh, he spoke to himself, Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, that where are you going to find the same strength and the same energy when you're an older person? Because as our age goes, we see the elderly in the masajid, do we not? That when the young are able to perform sajda upon the ground and they are performing sajda sitting or by ishara, by action while
Allahu
sitting
Akbar.
Upon a chair. And how they wish that once again they could go into sajda. This is burape mein kaha himmat, jo kuch karna hai, ab kar lo, abhi noori jawa tumha. That whatever you want to do, do it now, because now you are young. But the moment old age comes, then we start to realize the value of youth. The moment poverty comes, then we realize the value of wealth. But before that, how much of israf took place? How much of wastage took place? And then when we face poverty, then we just wish for the little that we wasted. If it could come back, it can fulfill our need. Once we reach old age, then we're missing youth. Once we are sick, then we are missing our good health. Once we are so occupied, there was a point in all of our lives when we had free time. And today, if we ask ourselves, where's our free time? We're looking for time. We're looking for the 25th hour in the day, and then we just realize that we don't have that anymore. We don't have a 25th hour. We don't have extra time. We had time at one stage. Today, we know the value of free time. Once you become occupied, you become busy, you come to realize the value of free time. So far, alhamdulillah, four out of the five that Rasulullah has taught us that we should look towards these ni'mas before we face that difficulty, four of them, we realize them. Most people realize them. There's one left. And that is what Rasulullah has taught us, that take advantage of value your life before your death.
Allah.
We are waiting for that. And we know that once these eyes close, then the real eyes open. Because then we realize that every moment we were alive for in the dunya, we could have done something great for our akhirah. We could have had foresight. It didn't have to be people of short term. We could have been people of long term. Those people are wise who see that long term whilst they are living this short life. And they plan for long term. Subhanallah.
Right.
Alhamdulillah. You had your eyes open to that which the rest of the world was not open to.
MashaAllah. Subhanallah. Acha Sayyidi, what we want to understand, especially for the youth of today, right?
Right.
That short-term indulgence,
yes.
Short-term indulgence could have a very sour and bad outcome.
Very
right?
True.
So the outcome and the consequences of short-term base could actually result in a bad way.
Absolutely.
Any person then faces different types of situations once mm-hmm. that's done, right? Islam is that beautiful deen that's giving us a focus because we are at a point, we are on a planet. And
right.
I think almost every time we discuss, we come to this point of tasawwuf and we come to the point of understanding why Allah has created us. If person lives a very successful life in the dunya, I'm asking Muhammad mm-hmm. a question, I would like Muhammad to answer this, right? A person is very well established, whether he's in the UK, whether he's in Africa, he traveled away from his country, he went to another country to make ruzi, to earn rizqi halal, mashallah, niyat was good. And he is very successful. He never cheated. He went the hard way. He worked. He worked very hard to send money to his family. And mashallah, his family is now living with him. I'm giving you various type of examples.
Mashallah.
Maybe he's a person from the country and he's successful, right?
Right.
He is very well established. Everybody knows he is very famous in the market. But from an Islamic point of view, a person who is the dunyadar, who worked very hard to build his empire. Now, this was long-term base and he have accumulated a lot for his family and for his generations to eat off. Is he successful or not?
The question here is, what did he come to dunya for? If he came to dunya, now that's what will basis, you know, help us to understand as to whether he's successful or not. If he came to dunya in order to earn dunya, if he came to the world in order to enjoy this world, then he's successful. And if he came to the world knowing that there is a different world, but such a world that will not end. And he planned for that world. If he planned for that world, then he would only be successful if he becomes successful in the next world. Mm. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, what we have here is what we see the general people consider to be success. Therefore, when Munasab asks, is he successful? It's just the lens that you're going to look through. If you look, well, he has a fancy car, he has a fancy house, he has his family with him, he goes for holidays, he earns a lot of wealth, etc. He's put investments in, his children can eat off it. So those who look through those lens, who don't see an afterlife, for them, he's the most successful person. But for those who see beyond, they see that within a little while, he's enjoying himself here, but within a little while, there's
Allah
a ditch he's going to fall into.
Allah
that ditch is called qabr. And after he falls into that, then there's nothing on the other side for him. So the person who enjoys life but sets himself up so well in life that he can only enjoy life, he can only enjoy this life. As successful as he may seem, unfortunately, he's only planned for the short term. However, you get people walking the same road, Mawlana Sahib. People walking the same road, yet they build an akhirah. You find two people, example, you find two people that are in the same job.
Right.
And there's one that is building his dunya whilst the other hasn't forgotten
Allahu
his akhirah.
Akbar, Allahu
and isn't it, you'll find
Allahu
that
Akbar.
This person, here he's namazi, but that one's not namazi. Yet both of them are earning the same salaries. This one here loves Quran and that one, he doesn't know when last he read Quran. Maybe last Ramadan. Yet they are earning the same salary. Yet they are in the same job. Yet they are in the same company, etc. So I think it's a matter of focus. Is your focus towards that which is, you know, beyond just the world? Or is your focus only that which is in front of your nose? The one who only focuses what's in front of him, one day it will be qabr. But all his life it's not qabr. But the one who focuses, the people of foresight, the people who see well beyond, they say, I'm living here because maut is waiting one day. I'm living for another world. I'm living in this world, but for another world. And that is what I would consider true long-term planning. Many a times you consider long-term planning, ask someone, what's your long-term goals? My long-term goal, it's when I reach 60, I must be able to retire. Some maybe will say 40 and 50 as well. When I reach a certain age, I want to have that. I want my children to eat off my wealth and my grandchildren to eat off my wealth. Is that really long-term? That's a good question. Is that really long-term? Because short-term and long-term is very relative. It's relative to what are we looking towards. Are we looking towards just within this little circle? Then yeah, that's long-term. But when we're looking at within the entire alam, within the entire universe, then that's very short term. because there is something beyond
this. Subhanallah. So this is where the catch is. This is where many people are indulged in.
Yes.
And that is the camouflage of this world, mm-hmm. the glamour, the enjoyment, the pleasures.
But there should be some self-restraint to hold ourselves. They should.
I mean, from what Mohsab has discussed, what I'm gathering here is that in every plan we make, whether it's children, whether it's business, whether it's job, whether it's holidays, every plan should have some thread connected to the akhirah. In other words.
That's a wonderful way of making things successful.
Alhamdulillah.
Imagine the person who, let's say that we spoke about the two people that are both going out and earning the same salary. Imagine the one who leaves, who says, I'm going to make lots of money because I need my great-grandchildren to eat off this money. And then the other one that leaves the house to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a responsibility to look after my family and I'm going to earn rizqi halal whilst I'm going to be working. I will take care of my salah as well. I will lower my gaze so that I don't look towards that which I'm not supposed to look towards. When it comes to salah time, I will leave my work and go for salah. When I'm earning this money, I'll do so in a halal way. And when I'm spending it, I'll do so in a halal way. I will take out the haqq of this money, that is to pay zakah. Can these two people ever be equal? It's just that one ensured that his heart was in the right place. He ensured that I'm doing the same job, but it's attached to my akhirah. And this one other person, he was doing the same job, but it was only attached to dunya. So every work that has its thread attached to akhirah, inshallah, that's going to be very precious. That's going to help you in the long term. And those three works that are only attached to dunya and everything is within dunya, then that is for dunya. What else are we going to take?
Subhanallah. MashaAllah, Mawlana Sahib. A wonderful ayat of the Holy Quran Pak is there for our encouragement, for our enthusiasm, subhanAllah, to increase that jazbah for us to understand. We have money, Mawlana. Many have money. And how do you attain the akhirah? I mean, in the dunya through money, ya Sayyidi, we make others happy.
Alhamdulillah.
We give people gift, we give people cash, we pay people's bills, we pay our own bills. And this brings a smile because at the end of the day, everything boils down to fulus. Everything boils down to money. I think last week we discussed money matters, right?
Absolutely.
And we had a very good discussion on Madani channel, mashallah, with regards to money matters. And everything surrounds money. Today, you can't even do dini work without money, ya Sayyidi.
True.
We are living in such times that we need money. We need donations from people to spread the message, to rectify people, to reform people. This channel is not for free, ya Sayyidi. There's millions that's invested just to convey this peyram and message to people, ya Sayyid.
Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. To rectify, to reform people. So money is needed in everything. And money being everything, ya Sayyidi, we're living in such times, right? So how do we not use this money to attain akhirah? To attain blessings of the akhirah? Yani in the dunya, you have come here to plant that seed for the akhirah. So some pious predecessors have used this opportunity.
Right.
Many of us have it, but many of us are conjuice, many of us are skeptical, many of us are contemplating whether or not should we do. We even bargain with the animals that we're going to buy for qurbani. After having millions in our accounts, illa masha Allah. I'm not saying this for every person, ya Sayyidi.
Yes.
But there are others who can bargain and bargain and bargain to the core, right to the rock bottom, where he will make that person scratch and pull his hair. He has no other option but to give that animal to that person. I don't know other countries how it works. I'm talking about South Africa.
Right.
People already know the market, okay? So we have to sell animals that people don't have to bargain because people are going to bargain. And it's a good thing at times to do so, but not to force the issue to such an extent where the person has to chase you from the yard and say, please go look at another place. Anyways, our pious predecessors, ya Sayyidi, have always used this opportunity. Never from a dunyawi perspective. Now, this is a thing that we all don't know. After which good action, that's going to be your last action. And you were to leave this dunya. I know those who are watching Madini channel right now have more examples than I have.
Absolutely.
Because we all have examples of a person who was young, who was vibrant, did some good action and then left the dunya. We all have money, but we have not used this money to attain the pleasure of Allah Kareem. We have used this for our own expenses thus far. So the mindset has to be, is this long-term, in other words, that we invest money in the dunya, like how we invest for the business. If I spend this money now, 5 years' time, this is my return I'm going to get back, mashallah. So the investment for the akhirah can be which way, Muya Sayyidi?
Subhanallah.
How many types of investment are there that a person can receive sawab in the qabr?
There are plenty of investments that you can make for the akhirah, where alhamdulillah, throughout your life, whilst you're investing, you are earning thawab. But there are three special kinds of investments we're going to share today.
Right. Okay.
This is very important for us to note.
This is long-term?
Special. these are such long terms with dividends being paid off to you throughout your life and beyond your life.
So in the dunya you're happy and akhirah too you're happy.
In the dunya you're happy, and here's the special thing. Normally your bank balance increases in dunya. Here, even after you leave the dunya, your akhirah bank balance, if I can say it that way, keeps increasing. Meaning the thawab meter continues going on. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in beautiful hadith that when a person passes away, all of his amal, all of his deeds come to an end. Meaning, if he used to perform salah, now he can't perform salah anymore. If he used to read Quran, how will he read Quran? He can't say subhanallah, he can't say alhamdulillah. People in the qabr will wish that they can come back to do these things, but the time is gone. So once we pass away, our time is cut off, our work is cut off, our amal, our actions is cut off. However, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are three such actions that if you do it whilst you are living, you will get benefit even whilst you are in the qabr. Meaning you are earning thawab as if you are doing actions whilst you're in the qabr. So what are these three? Beautifully, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us regarding these three. Now, one of these three is sadaqah jariyah. That's when you do something in this dunya, but the benefit of that continues even after you pass away. When the masjid is built and the masjid is maintained, whoever performs salah in that masjid now, you will get thawab. And masajid, we know that the masajid from the time it is built, it is masjid all the way until Qiyamah. It will continue to be masjid. And even masajid will be raised from the world and taken to Jannah, the very special pieces of land. So the masajid, if someone invested in a masjid, as long as people perform salah in that masjid, you're going to get thawab. This is sadaqah jariyah. It's always going to benefit you. Subhanallah Azza wa Jalla. So that is an important, a beautiful way of earning thawab even after you pass away. Another important one, and another point, is ilm, knowledge that you leave behind, that yuntafa'u bihi, people benefit, it's benefited from. So think about those who have taught someone the Holy Quran, those who have taught the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who have encouraged towards goodness, those who have taught anyone regarding the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are such ilm, such knowledge that you left behind, that you are benefiting other people from it. As long as they take benefit, you're going to earn thawab. And the last and very important one is a pious child who will make dua for you. Now this is, everyone's looking at my long term, my long term, my long term. Our long term investments are our children. And not just the wealth that they're going to make, but the taqwa that we instill within them, and the knowledge that we teach them, that they can raise their hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they can make dua for their parents once they leave this world. These are some brilliant long-term investments. I think we should make niyat, and our viewers should also make niyat, that these three investments, we're going to try our best, that before we leave dunya, we're going to make these investments.
Subhanallah. MashaAllah, Ya Sayyidi, really appreciate that. And here we have an opportunity. How many of us have sons? We have daughters. We have this great ni'mat and bounty from Allah Kareem. Kya aapne niyat to ki hai? Ki hum apne bachcho ko ulama banaye, huffaz banaye. I want my son to be a scholar of the deen. Alim-e-deen, the one who guides others towards the righteous path.
Subhanallah.
Why have you not thought like this? So if a person has only intended or only thought of putting his son in school, then at university level, and then get a job and degree and stuff like that to earn rizqi halal, but the tools weren't given how to earn rizqi halal. This is where the flop I have seen is made, Ya Sayyidi. I'm not saying doctors and engineers and other professionals are doing wrong, but having that degree and knowledge is for the dunya, for you to earn your bread and your butter. This is going to help you to earn lots of bread and butter, actually.
Right.
But then how do you, from that degree, excel, dear viewers of Madani Channel? So what we have realized is that our basic information and basic knowledge, fundamental knowledge, is very important. And this is the point that I'm making, Ya Sayyidi, that in all our plans, we all have plans. Somebody has plans for today, somebody has plans for tomorrow, somebody has plans for tomorrow, the next year, 10 years from now. But the question is, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. The Quran has asked us, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. SubhanAllah. The Quran has actually said to us that, and when you come to a firm decision regarding any matter, when you have come to a firm decision regarding any matter, what should you do? At that point, when you know you want to do something which you are firm upon, the Quran has said, so have trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who have trust in Him.
SubhanAllah.
So why don't we place our trust, our reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla? So I think, Ya Sayyidi, for many a times when we see short-term plans fail is because in that long term or short term, the trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla was actually not there. This plan was void from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the trust of Allah Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
That yes, I'm doing this, but mathematically it doesn't have to be 1 + 1 = 2, because this is the situation which I'm calculating. You know, I'm assuming according to my knowledge, my ilm, it has to be like this.
Right.
Because I'm doing it. But this is what Islam is saying, that you do what you have to do, but leave the results to Allah.
Subhanahu.
Why do you want to see the results what you want to see? Because you have done what you're supposed to do, but the rest is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He will give you according to His mercy, Ya Sayyidi.
Subhanallah, absolutely.
And I think, Ya Sayyidi, for a short-term planning or long-term planning, we are trying to get to the part where we understand it's not haram.
Mm-hmm.
It's not haram at all.
Yes.
It's not wrong at all for you to plan what you want in this dunya. But what you are encouraged to do is that with your home, with your life, with your wealth, in everything that you do, add Islam to it.
Subhanallah.
Actually, without Islam, you cannot do anything other than that. So, why is Islam void from that? So, example, we have this body now. Wonderful body you have, mashallah, but why is his face void from the beard of Rasulullah, the sunnah of Rasulullah?
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Void of the sunnah, example, I'm saying.
Yes.
We have this jism, Allah has given your body. So, if you want to plan long and you want this body of yours to be in a state where Allah is happy with you and angels love you and like you also because of the way you are, so we need to dress this body according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Adorn this body accordingly. Live your life according to Islam, dear viewers. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, many a times people who plan, they fail. But many people who have planned and failed and have lost completely all sorts of enthusiasm to ever move on in life, they are sitting in depression for months and years. And they're unable to move on even a single step due to these plans. And I think they as well, those who are stuck in depression. Depression comes from a lot of pain from dunya. When dunya gives you pain and taklif, you fall into depression, anxiety, ghabarat. Oh, can't manage this, can't do that. Looking for doctors, looking for antidepressant tablets and medications. So we actually need to understand that the sukoon and the peace that you look for is not in the well that we chase.
True, Munasab. What Munasab mentioned now, I think this depression that we often, that people tend to fall into, right?
Yeah.
If we look at it, one of the root causes or the one of what we'll find ourselves in when we are in depression is that we lack tawakkul. We always think that our plans is what needs to work. So since I cannot wrap my mind around it, it can't work. It's not like that. The world is not like that. Munasab said it so beautifully. I really like it. That it's not always that 1 + 1 = 2. Yes, it seems like 1 + 1 = 2, but this is what we know. And Allah Ta'ala knows better. We always think that this must happen and that must happen and that will be the result.
One good example to give with this. One good example, Munasab. Titanic is before our eyes. We all heard about Titanic.
Yes.
World's best engineers have put that giant together.
Right.
It only lasted for 4 or 5 days in the water, you see. Statements were made about that shark, that ship. It's unsinkable. It's a beast of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And no great flood can ever make this sink. But despite all those engineering skills and all of that put together, what difference did it make, Ya Sayyidi?
Absolutely.
So this is our planning. That doesn't even last. Our planning is such. Now imagine somebody goes in depression. Why did Titanic sink, for example, the makers of it? That was your planning. You planned that way, but Allah planned for that to sink. So you cannot fall into depression. You cannot afford that. You're supposed to have a strong heart and say, well, let me try again, inshallah.
And we don't know what is our Rabb's plan for us. We need to trust what Allah Azza wa Jal has set out. What's the taqdeer that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has put? You know, if we just think about it in this way, right? That I'm trying. I thought, okay, this is good for long term and this is my goal, etc. If I knew my entire life and if I was going to lay out my entire life, how well will I lay it out?
Allahu
Akbar. I would lay it out beautifully. Why? Because I love myself so much.
Allah.
We all do, don't we?
Allahu Akbar.
But if only we realized that our Rabb loves His servants more than we can love ourselves. Our Rabb loves us more than we love ourselves. Allah Azza wa Jal created us to worship Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much our Rabb loves us.
Subhanallah.
Now when our lives are in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our taqdeer is in the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why are we feeling uncertain? Why do we feel like life is not working for us? It seems like it's not working for us, but our Rabb knows best. Maybe it is. Maybe just tomorrow is going to be different, or the next day is going to be different, or maybe there's something very beautiful lying at the end that is waiting for us. And we are sitting so depressed. whilst we don't realize that, that just behind the veil there are beautiful flowers, that just behind the wall there is a Jannah that is waiting for us.
Subhanallah.
Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah ta'ala put us in, He knows best. We need to continue working. Don't lose hope. Don't lose the spirit. Yes, plan your life. Plan this. Plan for the akhirah. Do. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal places us in, believe me, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in front of us, He Azza wa Jal knows that we can manage it. Allah Azza wa Jal is not going to place us in more than we can manage. He knows that we can manage it. So strive, keep going, enjoy it. Enjoy the challenges that come in life. Enjoy the ups and also enjoy the downs. If you're going to enjoy the ups and the downs, you know, people, if you go to, I'm not encouraging people to do this, but you get some people that are very scared when they go down and they're very scared when they go up. The people who enjoy the ups and the downs, they say, I went on a roller coaster ride. It becomes enjoyable for them. So when the ups come, let the ups come, when the downs come. Yes. So mashallah, you leave the fear and you say that my life is in the power and the plan of my Rabb. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I will keep trying. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Allah Ta'ala placed me in dunya to worship Him. Allah Ta'ala placed me in dunya to earn His pleasure. Allah Ta'ala placed me in dunya because He loves me. He made me the ummati of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He wants to give me Jannah, Azza wa Jalla. So I want that Jannah and I'm going to strive for the Jannah. So subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, keep your heart big and keep your foresight very far. The mu'min doesn't only look here, the mu'min sees there. The mu'min sees beyond the world. Everyone else plans for retirement. You plan for aftermath.
How special
is this? Everyone's just planning. When I retire, what am I going to do? For how long? 10 years and 20 years, Ikhwani? No. What's going to happen to me after I close my eyes? The mu'min is the one with foresight. The believer is the one with foresight. Why? Allah Ta'ala opened your heart. Everyone's believing what they are saying. You are yu'minuna bil ghaib. You are amongst the believers who believe in the unseen. Allah told you after this, there's a Jannah. Allah Ta'ala told you about the rivers of Jannah. You know about Huzur Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us about how the Kawthar. Why are we running after the pleasures of the dunya that are just in front of us? Are we worried about the bungalow that after one hurricane the roof falls off? When Allah Ta'ala built such palaces in Jannah for the pious personalities that no wind is going to blow that roof off.
Subhanallah. So what we have learned is that the dunya is temporary.
Absolutely.
And the decisions taken here will shape our eternity, inshallah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Whatever you do in this temporary world, this limited time that we have come here, I would say between 60 and 70, because this is the hadith of Rasulullah. The age of this ummah is between 60 and 70. After that is maut. Before that is maut. Maut can come anytime.
Absolutely.
But the fact that the age of this ummah is not to last more than that. After that is this bonus. If you are living a long life, be grateful about it. But whatever you do in the 60 to 70 years, whatever you have done, you're going to see the outcome in the akhirah.
Subhanallah.
That's the long-term planning. When you get there finally, imagine if 50 years felt like a bulge for you, felt like a weight over you. I can't wait. I want to come to an end with terms with everything because I'm tired and some are sick and tired. They say it, you know, I'm fed up. I cannot manage this any longer. Then what's going to happen in that dunya for where you're going to be? Which world is it for eternity, Mulana? The eternal abode. The eternal abode, which is to last. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in the Holy Quran, hum fiha khalidun. Imagine a person is cast into the hellfire, and there are such punishments for him. So it's important that we leave this world with iman. We leave this world with our iman intact. And we understand very well that yes, money is important. Every person needs money. But look at the difference. In previous times, our pious predecessors worked just for that moment. For the day, for hour, two or more. And they earn rosy for the day and have gone. Today, if we close our shop, our businesses for one day, brothers come up and say, well, I'm not going to manage this month's rental. I'm not going to afford to pay for this, afford for that. Companies can't close. Bosses don't give off. It's really chaotic, Mulana. There's no time for ibadah. 24/7 is only spent for dunya. When majority of the time is only about the stomach, it's only for the holidays, only for the family, then it means it's short-term planning.
Absolutely.
We don't have long-term planning in our minds. When I see a person in the masjid sitting for hours, doesn't want to go back home, he's enjoying, he wants to go Makkah, Medina over and again, subhanAllah. He wants to do things to do with Qur'an Pak, he wants to recite the Qur'an, he's looking for translation. You always see him studying and learning Islamic stuff. That means long-term planning.
Absolutely.
It means long-term planning, definitely. He's not wasting his time. He is definitely not wasting his time. I would compare a person who's in a masjid business hours reading Quran and Pak as compared to a person who's got enough wealth but still sitting in business, making more money than he's got. Then your needs are sorted and now you're chasing for your wants.
Yes.
Allahu Akbar. As compared to that banda who left his wants aside and he's sitting reading the Quran and Pak. Are they both comparable? Ask yourself this question. So from a dunyavi perspective, yourself, your answer will come out from within your heart. No, that's fine. He's getting sawab. Not only sawab, he's also planning. Sawab to milega usse hai. Lekin he's planning for his akhirah because the same Quran will come and intercede for him on the day of judgment.
There was a plan that took him to the masjid,
exactly,
right?
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
So we need to make this time. We need to make this time because shaitan and all the shayateen who are working very hard with us are winning every single day. Time is clicking, it's ticking, it's going. Every second and moment is precious. Our pious predecessors were even scared to sharpen a pencil because in that time they could be ghafil from the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Allah, Allah.
And they never want to be inattentive of Allah's dhikr at any moment in their lives. And today's day and age, we can sleep for hours heedlessly. What planning is this? So yes, the topic is short-term versus long-term. Yes, we are speaking about don't take decisions in a dunya that will make you suffer on a long-term. It's fine. But what about this decision for what's going to give you punishment in the qabr, punishment in the akhirah? This is because of short vision and short-term planning, dear viewers of Madinah Channel. Just for your pate and just for one house over the head, we don't have to sacrifice 60 years of life. This is my point. You don't have to throw your 70 years of life down the drain just to build one home or free one home and work day and night like this where you can't enjoy your life. You can't even eat what you like because your expenses are so much. Your accounts are so much. And people are living like this in debt, Ya Sayyidi. Last 10 years, they don't even know when last they gave their family a good meal or could do something good for their own family. It's because the debts are so much. Paying this bill and that bill. And if you really assess the situation, Ya Sayyidi, many a times we realize this was not the need, this was a want in your life. You took on this want and this greed has put you in such a situation that now you can't come out of it for the last 10, 15, 20 years. There are many people like that who have died because of this depression, dear viewers. So our planning is the Quran's planning. You have to place your reliance and your trust upon Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sayyidi, without this, it's very difficult for a person
Absolutely.
To go any further into life
Absolutely.
And for him to further excel in this department.
Yeah, Munasa, when you put it like that, I think it struck me. I felt it, that Munasab is it's so true that do we really have to sacrifice 60 and 70 years of our lives to free a home?
Allah.
How many people are caught up in this? I'm not saying everyone's in this to free a home or to get this to look after the stomach, to give our stomach a few wants and a few enjoyable moments, and valuable family time is lost. Time in ibadah is lost. Living a good balanced life is lost. Time in sujood is lost. There's no focus that we can give to that which actually matters because we're worried about something that doesn't matter too much. Everyone tells us and everyone knows. Mm. We can lecture other people about it. That, the real abode of the dunya is the qabr. It's not just the home that you're going to live in for 60 years because you might live in the qabr for 600 years. Allah Ta'ala knows best. That we can lecture to everyone. We need to lecture that to ourselves. Really, every one of us, we need to tell that to ourselves that there's a hereafter. And as much as I say I believe in the hereafter, does my action really show like I believe in the hereafter? That, I heard the beautiful sayings that people say that sometimes we say we believe in the hereafter, but our actions are such as if we don't. We say Akhira is coming, we say life is short, but our lives are such as if we're going to live forever, as if it's going to go on and all this is not going to come to an end. When we sit and think about it, is it worth 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years for a stomach to fulfill and to try to fulfill the desires of our bodies and our
Which
stomachs?
Which is never ending also.
It's not going to end.
Never going to end.
Absolutely. We really do we need to sit down and think ourselves that yes, within the dunya, there's short term and there's long term. Mm-hmm. Plan for long term. And then when you compare dunya to akhirah, then everything, even the long term of dunya becomes short term. And then we realize that the akhirah is long term. What is better? The abode that ends tomorrow or the abode that never ends?
Allah.
The abode that never ends, isn't it? The abode that never ends is the akhirah. The hereafter. And Jannah, once you go into Jannah, there's no difficulty. In fact, there's no maut in Jannah. There's no death in Jannah. You don't have to plan for your retirement because you don't work in Jannah. So don't forget that whilst we're looking at the long term and the short term of dunya, look at the long term beyond dunya. That's the akhirah. The one who's successful with regards to that is successful overall. The one on the day of judgment, Shaykh Dariqat Amir al-Sunnat has quoted this very beautifully. On the day of judgment, the person who experienced lots of pleasures within dunya will be placed, dipped into Jahannam and taken out. And he will be asked that, have you ever experienced any pleasure? He'll say, by Allah, I've never experienced pleasure.
Allah.
Because the Jahannam will make him forget every pleasure of dunya. But the one who went through all the difficulties in dunya, he'll be dipped into Jannah and removed. And he will be asked that, did you ever face any difficulty? He'll say, I never faced any difficulty. Because Jannah will make him forget every difficulty of the world.
Allah.
So even if it means a temporary struggle, a short-term struggle, not every want being fulfilled. In some cases, sometimes we feel like not every need being fulfilled. But you're looking at your long term, you're looking at your akhirah, you planned well for that, you invested well for that, that's looking bright, you've gotten everything. There'll come the day when you won't remember the night that you went to sleep hungry, you won't remember the difficulty you had, you won't remember the time that you didn't have a vehicle, you had to walk to the masjid, you won't remember the cold whilst you were performing wudu, don't worry. Jannah makes people forget all of that. It's normal.
Subhanallah. Very beautifully you said it, ya Sayyidi.
Alhamdulillah.
And if only we had understood all of these points, dear viewers, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, our lives would be better. Everyone should be pious and everyone can't be on that level. We're all trying, we're all struggling. Even I'm trying, Sayyidi, Malana Sahib is also trying. We all try, we fail. But this motivation is needed daily in our lives. It needs to be drummed, it needs to be engraved in our hearts, in our minds, that this is what we are aiming for. As a Muslim, you have to have a vision. As a mu'min and as a Sunni believer, you have to have a vision. How can you not have a vision after being divan of Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
All sahabas had a vision, subhanallah. All awliya Allahs have a vision. How can you have the daman of Khaja sahab and Ghospa? Can you not have a vision? Because they taught us to have a vision. Because they gave up all the luxuries of this world and they want their followers to follow their footsteps. And they have followed the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we have the daman of our murshid Amir al-Sunnat in our hands? It's because we've seen how he have thrown everything aside. He have given up all his pleasures. From what we see, he can live a very comfortable life, but he doesn't choose to live this comfortable life. And he puts pressure on his nafs. He keeps himself awake. So much of tilawati Qur'an Pak, namaz, and charitable work. And look at what Dawslami has done, ya Sayyidi. The entire world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Let's understand this, dear viewers, that short-term planning and the ups and downs in the short-term planning can really have a very negative and bad consequences on your long-term goals that you have in life. Plan well, keep Islam in all your plans, place your tawakkul in place, whether it's dunya planning or akhirat planning. In every planning of the dunya, you should have some strings and threads attached to the akhirah, inshallah.
Subhanallah.
And if this is your aim and objective, even if you smiled, the aim was to make Allah and Rasul happy. Subhanallah. The person in front will always be happy because you're smiling, but look at your niyat was there behind to make Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy. You give charity to help somebody, you made him happy for sure, but your niyat was to be for Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whether you do or do not, everything is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at least if you have this much niyyah, intention, it means you are planning for the akhirah.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah Kareem bless you. We say shukran to Mulana Ziyad Madini Sahib, mashallah, for sharing such amazing Madini pearls with us. And shukran to all the viewers for joining us on this journey tonight. We have been discussing short-term versus long-term. Keep reciting the Durood-e Pak. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Reformation of Ummah. Reformation of Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.